Business Brief, the most widely read business magazine in South Africa, brings you the Business Brief interview of the week.
Welcome back to our discussion on the Business Brief article of the week, and that is by Patrick Brucher. And we are talking here about the Johannesburg High Court discussing the balance between the constitutional right of freedom of expression on the one hand and the required respect for inherent dignity to all human beings on the other. And that's no mean feat, I would imagine, given the amount of, quite frankly, dissonance even in the title of that article itself. Now, Patrick is a director of Norton Rose Fulbright South Africa. Patrick, thank you so much for joining me here on Contemporary Business. And before I introduce you, let me remind our listeners that Business Brief is the number one online and in printed form business read magazine in South Africa. They're a very good partner of these podcasts with me here on Contemporary Business. Patrick, thank you so much and welcome to Contemporary Business.
Well, I wrote the article because of a recent decision in the courts about this exact fight between Anton Mustard, who's a well-known creator of financial institutions, and somebody who criticized him in public. And he then went to court in order to get them to desist publishing the allegations they'd made about him, and was successful in a time because of the courts balancing these two rights. Now, we've had defamation forever. It goes right back to Roman law, but the weight that the Bill of Rights and the courts attached to dignity has grown, obviously, exponentially since 1994. Dignity is a foundational right, right at the beginning of the Bill of Rights. And, you know, when you talk about the Bill of Rights, there is no such thing as an absolute right. You can never have one entirely trumping another. You always have to do this balancing act. So within the law of defamation, we now have to take personal dignity perhaps a little bit more seriously than we did, although attack on dignity, which is not justifiable, has always been unlawful.
It's a very pertinent topic at the moment, isn't it, Patrick, given what's going on as we move towards the 8th of May election? There seems to be just a lot of this kind of activity prevalent in the media and within the political sphere here in South Africa.
Yes, I'm afraid it's not a time of great respect for dignity, is it, when we hear some of the outpourings. I think that's very important, what you've just said, you know, because the right of freedom of expression, and if you look at the United States, I've always seen that as probably their highest right, because, and our constitutional court has said it here, it's the free media that we rely on so heavily, and we're so lucky to have that in our Bill of Rights here, and to have a very strong media presence in South Africa, because that is a cornerstone of democracy. If the truth doesn't out, then the truth is never going to influence democracy. So that is so important, and I must say the courts have emphasized that, and I don't want to put overemphasis on dignity as opposed to freedom of expression. And where it happens is it's more in the, you know, in the personal sphere, as with Anton Mustard, where he'd been personally attacked and accused of things that the courts will step in to protect. Now, the information has certain elements to it. The first one is that you've got to publish something. So if you and I are sitting in a closed room and I say something nasty to you, it's not a defamation. You may have some other claim for attack on your dignity, but it's not defamation. So it's the publication of information. And the media have a little bit more scope than the ordinary individual. The media are tested on whether they were negligent in publishing something or not. So the obvious reason that there's often not all that amount of time to look into a story which is brought to you. So you rush off and you want to publish it in your radio, TV or newspaper or whatever. But the courts require you to make some investigation, and if at all possible, and if it's possible to put up a story to do so, you should get a comment from the other side. And that is the media test. So you do your best, you investigate the story, and if it's urgent or if it's something that has to be put out in the public, you do your best to find the truth and to ask the other person for comment, which is not always possible, and you take your chances on it being right or wrong. But even if you publish something which is wrong, it don't necessarily lead to damages, because you would have done your best and got a comment from wherever. So that's the media. Now, between you and I, if I say something insulting to you, all you have to prove is that the words you have spoken are insulting and defamatory in the sense that they do diminish my reputation or my justifiable sense of dignity. And then once you prove that, I've got to go to court and justify it. And I've got to say, well, I didn't intend it. I thought it was true, and you've got to make a good case out, or I didn't intend it to be published by somebody else. And by the way, when I say somebody else, just listeners beware, because defamation is not only what you say, but what you pass on from what other people say. And we know what happens in social media. So you can be sued by somebody for what you repeat. As long as you are publishing in regard to that person a defamatory or harmful, personally harmful statement. And then you've got to show an intention to defame. And in law, that doesn't mean malice. It doesn't mean your motive. You can have good motives and still know that what you've said is defamatory and likely to diminish the other person in the eyes of what they call the right-thinking public. It's not every remark that's suitable. And I want to say something else to listeners, that, you know, it's a mistake to think that every time somebody says something nasty about you, you should rush off to a lawyer, because the damages for defamation are not particularly spectacular in this country, unless you've suffered an actual harm like loss of earnings. The other interesting thing about our law of defamation is that in our common law, you can't sue for an apology. It's quite a serious thing. And the judges Funnerman and Cameron in the Constitutional Court a few years ago tried to suggest that that should be brought into our law. But I do recommend people, you know, to go over the mark and say something. It's so much easier to deal with withdrawal and an apology. It costs you nothing. It might affect your dignity to a certain extent. But, you know, if you think you might have stepped too far, then do a immediate withdrawal and apology. And although that's often going to be accepted by the other side, in my experience, alternatively, it will reduce the amount of any claim against you. So I've spoken a long time, but that's a sort of summary of where we are.
What you've said is absolutely essential, particularly bearing in mind that there is a middle road of compromise, and that a sensible person would have to come to their senses and say, right, I realize that maybe I've overstepped the boundary, I've overstepped the mark, let me give an apology to the same extent that I've actually, you know, committed the act of defamation in the first place, and this whole thing will go away. And yet it seems that that's when people stand their grounds, when they least need to stand their ground, and that simply causes an escalation of consequence.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you know, the case I mentioned about the apology was quite a well-known case of some schoolboys who thought they were just playing a prank and put an image on the internet of one of the senior teachers in a compromising position, as to put his head on other bodies. And he would not take no for an answer and went to court, went to three courts, I think. And the award was R25,000, but his view was that he had to be vindicated. So he was prepared to go through all the courts to get vindication. And in that case, I mean, he was offered an apology and didn't even accept it because he thought he'd been so badly wronged. Now, that is your legal right if you're a plaintiff and you're prepared to spend money on getting a court saying the other people were wrong. It's going to cost you money and it's going to cost you time, but maybe it's maybe you've been affronted to an extent you think you need a court to put it right.
Patrick, how does the standard that you've written about differ, or how similar is it to the standard which is used by the I suppose you have to call it a forum. You can't really call it a human rights court here in South Africa that has recently ruled on Julius Malema, because there seems to be a different set of standards which are applied.
Yes, I think the human rights people have got a different test altogether. It's not a court of law. It's not a court of record. And I'm not sure what they were applying in that matter. Was it a sort of hate speech test or something? Because It wasn't a defamation case. I think it was hate speech. I didn't follow it closely. And that's a different test altogether, because you've got another section in the Bill of Rights talking about what is hate speech. And it gives a fair amount of, you know, difference to the freedom of expression. I found the, I mean, what I read about the decision in the case was a bit curious, that there would be a sort of different test for different people talking to different people. It's really supposed to be a sort of general test of the right-thinking person, and you can't divide it up according to the different groups and cultures and so on. Unless the publication is only within a certain group or culture, I suppose, then you would say the right-thinking people within that. So it is a balance. I mean, and I think the courts try to keep some freedom of expression going, because, as I say, that's a cornerstone to a lot of everything else.
So the distinction here would be the difference between hate speech on the one hand and defamation on the other, and there'd be a different standard applied to hate speech when it comes to freedom of expression as opposed to individual or personal defamation, which the courts are more inclined to want to rule on.
What illustrates that best, I suppose, is the decision that was made by the Human Rights Commission did not prevent the person from suing for defamation. I could say, well, you've been let off on that ground, but I'm still going to sue you for defamation.
Patrick Brucker, partner at Norton Rhodes Fulbright, South Africa, thank you so much for joining me here on Contemporary Business, and I'm sure we'll chat again.
Yes, thank you. My pleasure. Bye-bye.